Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Check out the new PropSwap.com and use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. We're also brought to you by Prediction Strike. Prediction Strike is the only performance-based sports stock market where you can buy and sell shares of professional athletes. Use promo code SGPN to receive a free athlete share with your first deposit of $20 or more. And we're brought to you by Odds Crowd. Are you the best NBA bettor in the US? Odds Crowd is challenging you to prove it with their free-to-play fantasy betting contest. There's $3,000 up for grabs in their season-long contest and $200 every week in their weekly contests. Just head over to oddscrowd.com to sign up now. Welcome, everybody, to the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. We are here. My name is Malcolm Bamford, and we are continuing to rifle through these playoffs. We are on. Where are we? What day is it? Friday night? Who knows? It's the middle of baseball. It's the middle of playoffs. It's Friday night. We are 1 hour away from the Sox and the Astros. Are about to get underway. In fact, about 40 minutes now in the ALCS, a series that we previewed a couple of nights ago. That podcast is available if you haven't caught it yet. And we're here tonight because the NLCS, eventually the Los Angeles Dodgers took down the San Francisco Giants. So we now know they're going to take over the Atlanta Braves, which is what we'll be getting into tonight. As always, helping me out. In fact, more than helping me out, actually. He's done all the major lifting through this playoff series. And I'm going to call him the hardest man, certainly in the SGPN, probably in the greater Texas area. I do believe this is his fifth podcast of the day, and he's still not finished. He's got one to go. So if he's a little bit hoarse, he's got every reason to be, because he's putting the graft in for the D-gens over at SGP. Munaf Manji. Munaf, how are you?
I'm doing well, sir. How's it going? Not enough about me. Why don't you tell the people what time it is in your neck of the woods right now? Let them know what time it is.
it's half past midnight. It's not that late.
Oh, come on, that's late. I don't think anybody, maybe an SGPN, I'm not sure about this, would be recording a podcast half past midnight at their time unless they truly, really had to. But you're a man of the people, and you said, no, we're going to grind out this National League Championship Series preview for our listeners. And here we are. Like you said, I'm about 40 minutes away from the game one kicking off, but it's half past midnight for you over there. So kudos to you. And I think a big thank you for you staying up and us getting this podcast out.
Yeah, I've been out to work tonight. I've had my casino out at a wedding. I've taken my roulette table and my blackjack table. So I've got the bug. I've been the gamekeeper for the last 4 hours, but now I'll turn poacher and we try and take some money off the house tonight. The issue I'm going to have in 40 minutes is I'm going to have to try and go to bed because I'm going to try and watch the first innings or two just to get a little flavour. Yeah. And then I've kind of got to be up. I've got to be up at 7 a.m. So I'm going to have to try and go to bed and drag myself away from the baseball. So I'll have to try and find a way to watch it as if it was live in the morning. So game five, Moonaf, the Dodgers and the Giants. We talked about that a few nights back. Yeah. One of us had to get it right because I took the Dodgers and you took the Giants.
Yeah.
But you took the under as well, so we can call 2 for 3.
Yeah. Yeah, this was, I think it kind of played out the way we were maybe expecting this to. I think both, there was a pitching change. We'll get to that in a second. But I think Logan Webb, again, did a fantastic job. I mean, he's been lights out all year long. For the Giants at home, he did it in game one. He did it here in game five, but the run support wasn't there. But, you know, I think, you know, when we're in a elimination game, the stakes are a lot higher, right? The pressure is more on. And I think that defenses step up, pitchers step up, managers have to make the right decisions of putting in the right bullpen guys and pitchers in the right spot. So, you know, we were talking about how Julio Urias was going to start for the Dodgers. But then I think as soon as we kind of got off our last podcast, we said that then Corey Knebel,
yeah,
he got the start for the Dodgers. But I think that Dave Roberts did the right thing there. He got an inning out of him, and I think they brought in Gatterall for a second inning, and then they brought in Urias for the stretch of the middle innings there. But I think this was a good game. At the end of the day, it came down to the ninth inning. That was pretty much it.
Yeah. We had said that the Giants seem to have one way of winning the game, which is to limit the Dodgers. But the Dodgers had two ways of winning the game because the Dodgers could score some runs and blow it up. But the Dodgers were also capable of winning a tight one. So kind of they had two out of three, and it was one of those. It was one of those ways of winning the game that the Dodgers managed. Max Scherzer closed the game out. It sort of finished with a bit of a whimper on that checked swing. It Wilmer Flores, I think? But he was going to strike out anyway. There was never anything more to him. Scherzer struck him out 7 of 8 times that he'd faced him. Mm-hmm. It was 0-2. It just had strikeout written all over it. It was slightly underwhelming. How can the umpire trigger him there? Like, even it's not even the benefit of the doubt. Because you can only trigger him if you've seen it, and you can't have seen it because it didn't fucking happen. So why are you doing it?
Yeah, he didn't even go around. And for a deciding game to a decisive series-ending game to be decided on that type of call, I think that's real unfortunate. But, you know, aside from everybody saying that he was going to strike out anyway, we don't want to see that. We don't want a game to end that way, right? Like, at least give him a puncher's chance on the next pitch. Because, I mean, who knows? Anything can happen. Wilmer Flores was 1 of 3 in the game. So, I mean, yeah, Scherzer has his number. But a lot of people coming out and saying, oh, he was going to strike out anyway. Well, we don't know that. I mean, he could have thrown a bad pitch or a hanger of a pitch. And, you know, Flores got a hit and the inning would have been extended. And it just kind of sucks that the umpires, again, and especially in baseball, have been atrocious year after year. It's happening in every sport, but I think in baseball, it's a lot more evident than in other sports, personally, for me.
Yeah, I agree. I just had the fear that eventually the Dodgers were going to overtake the Giants, and we've been waiting for it since April, and last night they finally overtook the Giants, and it just, I don't know... After that game four, I think that was the Giants' chance. And they kind of blew it because they couldn't keep going to the well and winning in the same way. It was just unsustainable. And I know it's only a short game series, but they'd just done it so many times. And even in the previous series, it just seemed that it was once too often. They were going to try that trick once too often. A 2-1 or a 3-1 win, or even a 1. They had a 1-0 earlier in the series.
Yeah.
It just seemed that they were going to try that trick once too often. They never looked like putting any runs on the board. It was one solo shot from Darren Ruff. Yeah. And they never really looked like getting it, which is a shame. The Giants have been outstanding this season. I mean, they've won the division at 40-1. finished with the best record in baseball, held off the best team, and held them off quite comfortably, actually. Yeah. They never really wobbled. Like they did everything really, really well. So it'd be fun to see how they get next season. But there was just a looming, ominous presence of the Dodgers for me hanging over it. So yeah, I had the Dodgers on the money, and they were a great price. I mean, I don't know how many times the Dodgers this season would be -108 as kind of underdogs. So, I mean, we call them underdogs. It was more of a pick'em. But yeah, we took over the Dodgers on the money line. But you were right on the under seven as well. So Dodgers advance.
Yep.
And they will take on the Atlanta Braves. So a couple of prices. The Braves are +175 for the series.
Yeah.
The Dodgers are -210. We've got no probable pitchers as yet lined up for game one. We're looking at possibly, we think, or you think, Dodgers might be going with Max Scherzer, who closed that game out last night. Mm-hmm. And the Braves are likely to go with Max Fried. Those prices in the show notes, Munaf, are they prices you've seen attached to those pitchers?
Those are not prices I've seen attached to those pitchers. This is just a general line that was put out by DraftKings. So I'm seeing some conflicting, or not conflicting thing. I'm seeing, you know, some reports out there that it might be Scherzer and Max Fried. I'm not going to, you know, we're not going to put anything out that's not official by, you know, one of that comes out by the managers of these respective ball clubs, or even like the top scout or the top reporters that cover baseball, saying that they're going to be the starters. But I wouldn't be surprised if it is these two, but you know, we're not going to go off of that now. We'll just generally get into the kind of the whole series and in the keys, and then kind of look back at what happened during the season between these two teams. But those kinds of just the general prices that I saw right now. The series prices for sure, but game one, that was just listed on DraftKings without pitchers.
Yeah, so this is a rematch of the NLCS last season, which the Dodgers came from behind, actually. Came from 3-1 down to win in seven. But there's so much changed from both ball clubs. I don't really think that series last year will hold too much sway. You have crunched the numbers, Munaf. So where do you want to start? What trends and stats are you taking us to first?
Yeah, I think we can just start with, you know, recapping the season and what we saw. And obviously, season series, they played six games between these two teams. Dodgers won the series 4-2. The interesting part here was that the Atlanta Braves took two out of the three in Atlanta when the series was there in June 4th through June 6th. And then the second series they played was towards the tail end of August, which was August 30th through September 1st in LA, and Braves lost all three of those games in LA. So, you know, the Dodgers took care of business at home. But I think that I don't recall when the Ronald Acuna Jr. injury was. That's something that I should have looked up. But I think that right now, what you just said, Malcolm, that last year, I don't think we can really take into account what happened, especially because the rosters are slightly different, especially when you don't have Ronald Acuna Jr. for the Braves. And then you have Max Scherzer and a guy like Trey Turner on this already loaded Dodgers roster. So, you know, those were kind of the season series things that we kind of looked at, or I looked up for these two teams during the regular season.
So, yeah, the Dodgers won that series, like you say, 4-2 over the start of the season. The Dodgers struggling against lefties in the postseason so far, Moon. Do you think that's going to have a bearing?
Yeah, I think that the Braves have one left-handed starter, which is Max Fried. That's probably going in game one for the Braves. So far in the postseason, they rank number seven out of the eight teams, obviously, who made the playoffs against left-handed pitching, right? There's 35 total at-bats of the Dodgers against left-handed pitching, which obviously was against the Cardinals in game one. And then obviously against the Giants in the divisional series, they're batting 171 in those 35 at-bats, only mustered off six hits. And then in the regular season, the Dodgers did also struggle against left-handed pitching in all of baseball for the whole season. The Dodgers ranked number 20. So I think that'll be something to keep an eye on, Malcolm, especially in game one, if Max Fried is going to get the start. I kind of do identify a player prop bet possibly for game one for Max Fried is either looking at his strikeouts or looking at, maybe the Braves steal one here, because I think that if the Braves want a chance to win this series, for me, I think they have to win both of these games. They have to win both of these games at home, because, you know, it is a small sample, but they did lose all three games in LA. Now, quickly, since we're talking about Max, we just go through his two appearances that he had against the Dodgers in the regular season. So Max Fried, like I said, two appearances against the Dodgers. He was 1-0 in that situation, a 2.25 ERA, 12 innings pitched, 9 hits, allowed only 3 earned runs, 13 strikeouts, and only 1 walk in those two appearances. So again, he's had success against the Dodgers left-handed pitching. So, once the game pitchers are announced for game one, I'll probably drop something on my Twitter and also in the Slack channel, see if there's a number that's enticing for his strikeout props in game for Max Fried.
I do like Max Fried. He's someone who's been on my radar for a couple of seasons. So, and he improved as the season went on. He turned into the pitcher that we thought he was going to be. So he's on the improve as well, which I quite like. And I do think you're right. I do think they need to get over the line early doors, because it's going to be a long series if they fall behind, especially with that advantage of the Dodgers not hitting lefties very well. The Dodgers haven't actually hit very well at all in this recent series. They put up a couple of runs in sort of two of the games, but it's still been a little bit flat. Even last night, they sort of weren't spectacular. Cody Bellinger, and then
Betts had a great game last night. I think he was four for four with 4 singles. And, you know, we know what we get out of Mookie Betts. But I think the more concerning part for me is actually the Atlanta Braves bats, because against the Brewers, and again, the Brewers have great pitching, and I think so do the Dodgers. It's going to take more than 13 runs in 4 games for the Braves to win this series. And I think that's an area that I think they're going to really struggle with, that we know what the Dodgers bats are capable of because of their lineup. We've talked about how great it is, especially their top 4, but not having Ronald Acuña Jr. I think this is a series probably where it's going to catch up for the Braves, I think.
Yeah. The Braves bats have been disappointing. I mean, they were held in check by the Brewers for much of that series. And the Brewers have got, I was going to say, slightly inferior. I don't think it is, actually. They've got a similar standard of top-class rotation to the Dodgers. I wouldn't like to say which one was better, actually. Those SP sort of 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
Charlie Morton, someone who's going to give the Braves a chance. We talked about with the Consig a couple of weeks ago. Just a bloke's a robot, like, doesn't know how to have a bad start. Charlie Morton has had 2 appearances against the Dodgers this season with a 2.45. Just a Charlie Morton. Like, just write the numbers. And you don't have to look them up. You can just imagine. You can imagine what the numbers are before we even tell you. The other people who are likely to pitch in this series, Munaf, Urias and Ian Anderson.
Yeah, I think the I pretty much highlighted the top 3 pitchers for each team that we're for sure going to see. And then we don't know who the 4th starters are going to be. I want to go just touch on Charlie Morton against the Dodgers in his career, because when he was with the Astros, he also pitched against them when they won the World Series, when he was that game 7 starter for the Astros. And he's had success against them. So again, I think this is a guy that we may want to take a look at again, backing him on his strikeouts also. And then, you know, both of the games, I believe he started in for the Braves, I think they both went under in the first 5 innings. So we'll highlight that when, Charlie Morton is announced. But yeah, like you mentioned, Malcolm, if I wanted to ask you, do you think that the Brewers top 3 guys of Corbin Burns, Brandon Woodruff and Freddie Peralta are better than or equal to Max Scherzer, Walker Buehler, and Julio Urias? Because I was kind of struggling. It's tough to say, but I want to give a slight edge to the Brewers. But again, you can make an argument for both sides, right? And I think that's where the conversation kind of starts, is that are the bats of the Braves going to have success against those pitchers? And if they're not, this could be a very short series, Malcolm. I think it's going to be wrapped up in 4 or 5 if they don't have any success against against the pitchers of the Dodgers.
Well, the Giants didn't, but then the Giants were never really a particularly explosive offense all season. The Braves have had this issue. I mean, they've won that division without being absolutely stellar. They've had some good performances, some good streaks at times. Freddie Freeman came back into form. Obviously, Jorge Soler. But I think, I would probably give the edge to that Brewers pitching. Not by much, mind, but I'd give the edge to the Brewers pitching, which does give you a little red flag. I think in terms of the bats, if Atlanta are going to get competitive, there's players are going to have to perform. Freddie Freeman will have to perform. But there's players with upside. It's the players who can flash. For example, Travis d'Arnaud. Now, his stats this season aren't great, but he missed a hell of a lot of the season with a thumb injury.
Yeah.
So when he comes back, and he's someone who can put a streak together. He's quite a streaky player. Who else? There's a few. Dansby Swanson is another one who, good fielder, but not necessarily. He's got upside, though. So he could put something together. You're going to need some of these players who haven't really been doing it. We saw Jock Peterson hit that home run the other day. And Adam Duvall. So there's players who have got a streak. So you're expecting a couple of the cornerstones, like you said, maybe Freddie Freeman to do what Freddie Freeman does. But he's going to need some help. And he's going to need a couple of these players with upside. If they play to the level they have been, it's going to be all a little bit meh for the Braves. They need an explosion out of maybe 2 or 3 of those kind of bits and bobs players that they have, I think.
In just breaking news, Malcolm, both Max Scherzer and Max Fried are slated to start Game 1 for their respective teams.
Get
the matchup there.
To the ground.
Yeah. So, I echoing everything that you said, right? It's gonna have to start with Freddie Freeman for Atlanta, and I think he's gonna have to get contributions from the entire batting lineup. You can't rely on just one guy like the Dodgers can, right? If you have a good game from Mookie Betts and let's just say Justin Turner or Trey Turner, the Dodgers are going to have success. But for the Braves, it's a different case without Ronald Acuna Jr. Yeah, they picked up some pretty good bats when Ronald Acuna Jr. went down with Jorge Soler and Eddie Rosario and those guys. But again, it's going to have to be a top-down, up-and-down batting order contribution for every single person if they want to have some success against the Dodgers in this series.
Yeah, completely and utterly agree. I think part of the reason I kept sort of fading the Braves in the season was just this sort of the muddling nature, particularly their outfield sort of Pedersen, and they're still talking out sort of Guillermo Heredia, people like that. And I just don't think it's going to be good enough. I think, in all honesty, they've probably overachieved slightly to get to this stage. They were never really favourites to win that division till probably September. They were then dogs against the Brewers. And again, just like we talked about the Giants going to the well to win a low-scoring game once too often, unfortunately, I think the Braves to take a 7-game series against the Dodgers is going to be too much to ask. So having said that, Moonaf, where are we going to find our picks? If we think the Dodgers are going to win, they are prohibitive price at -210. You've already led us to a couple of maybe player props on Max Fried, on sort of hits and strikeouts, things like that. So where are we going to get a pick from, Moonaf?
Yeah, I'll give you a couple of picks here. And let's start with Game 1 because the pitchers are now confirmed. And I'm only looking at the strikeout props for both of these pitchers, for both Max Fried and Max Scherzer, a battle of the Maxes. Now, there we go in Game 1. I quickly didn't mention Max Scherzer's number against the Braves this season. He has 2 appearances, 12 innings pitched, 8 hits allowed, 4 earned runs, 18 strikeouts, 0 walks for Max Scherzer against the Braves. So looking at game one, I'm going to go with the player props like you just mentioned, Malcolm. I'm going to look at the strikeouts for both of these pitchers. I think this might be another game where we see an under come through. I believe it probably come out as a 7, maybe a 7.5. Let me see if DraftKings or another book has this up. But regardless, I think this is why we'll get a low scoring first game. Currently seeing, I actually see at 8 right now. So,
Nice. Yeah.
So if your book is offering right now, I would probably take that under 8 because these two pitchers have good numbers against their respective opponents. And then also looking at the strikeout props for both of those pitchers. As far as the series, Malcolm, I got to go with the Dodgers -1.5 at -105 here. I just think, like you mentioned, asking the Braves to win 4 games against the Dodgers in a 7-game series, it's going to be a tall order. And I think when you have a 1-2-3 of Max Scherzer, Walker Buehler, and Julio Urias, and then you also have guys in this, you know, bullpen that can go long innings and arms in this bullpen, I think it'll just be too much. And again, when I've talked about this Dodgers offense, where top 4 guys are Mookie Betts, Corey Seager, Trey Turner, Justin Turner, it's going to be really difficult to get through this lineup. The Giants were able to do it, but because I think they're more familiar with them because they play so many games in the division against them. But I just think the bats are going to be way too much for the Dodgers in this throughout the entire series for the Braves to kind of keep up with. And like I said, 13 runs against the Brewers in 4 games was not going to get it done. I think the Brewers' offense is going to be something that they have to work on in the offseason because they didn't produce anything in that series. And I think that's where the Braves kind of lucked out. But now you're facing a definitely better Dodgers offensive team here. So I'm taking the Dodgers -1.5 on the series line there at -105.
Yeah, I'm just going to have to co-sign your pick, Moon. I can't see anything but a Dodgers win. Yeah. I'm not going to put the Dodgers up at -210.
No.
And I think asking the Braves to win 3 games is possibly even a stretch.
Yeah.
So you're looking at a 4-2 or greater margin of victory for the Dodgers. So that -1.5 at -105, I think absolutely would be my pick as well. The other thing I would just do, and we've used our roulette analogy, I've been on the roulette table today, is just following the patterns of the constant, the unders, the Braves aren't hitting. Not necessarily the unders on the games, because I've seen enough signs of life from the Dodgers. They went over a couple of times against the Giants. They put up a 9 and a 7, I think. But the Braves just keep following this pattern. They follow the pattern against Milwaukee. And they've got an equally good pitching staff to face. So I'd just be looking at your book, trying to find whether it's an unders on the run line or an unders on the hit line even, and just keep riding it until if the Braves bats suddenly spring into life in game 1 or game 2, then maybe sit it out. But until you get to a loser, just keep rolling with it. And it's not big or clever, but it's going to build us up a little pot for the World Series just by taking this easy chalk, I think.
I agree with you. And I think that, you know, again, like we said, not having Ronald Acuna Jr. And I think they probably needed one more pitcher on this Braves staff for them to kind of compete in this series. But nonetheless, hopefully it's still a competitive series. You know, excited for game 1 for sure between these two pitchers. I think it'll be a battle of the maxes. It's going to be a lot of fun to see. But at the end of the day, I think it'll just be too much Dodgers for this Braves team to kind of keep up with.
Yeah, absolutely. Too much Dodgers. There you go. That's the tagline of this episode of the MLB Gambling Podcast. Too much Dodgers, unfortunately. We've said 1,000 times this season, when are the Dodgers going to come into form and start picking off the other teams? Well, it looks like it's happening this week. They picked a good week to do it. So, what are you doing to watch this Red Sox game then, Moon? Are you settling down or you're gonna try and crank out one more podcast and then catch the last couple of hours?
No, I got a little bit of a break here between us finishing up here, but you know, we're going to do the NFL week 6 player prop. So I'll be working on that a little bit. And then also, watching the game for sure. So we, you know, we got about 13 minutes till we see the first pitch, but, yeah, definitely excited for this series. I think this series is going to be a complete opposite of what we probably see from the Dodgers and the Braves. But, yeah, definitely excited. I'll be watching it. Not sure how much voice I'll have left by the time I get to the prop cast with Dan for the week 6 picks, but yeah, or my attention span. But we'll try to grind through it and make sure we get something out for the listeners.
Yeah, enjoy it, mate. I'm looking forward to it myself too. Right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be back. God knows when we'll be back. We'll be back all the time. Just assume we'll be back.
That's why you subscribe to the feed.
Yes. It's safe to assume we'll be back. If there's baseball to be played, me and Moonaf will be here to talk it down. We've done really well, actually, through the playoffs. The playoff picks have been pretty good. We've found some good trends. We've followed them. We've kept it pretty simple. And yeah, I think we've done really well. We've gotten a little heater at the right time. It's been fairly good stuff. Enjoy your weekend, Moonaf, all the baseball and the football. Get across to the SGPN website and the Slack channel and all the usual places to like, rate, review, and be made aware of when new content is being published. So, yeah, thanks, Moonaf.
Yes,
enjoy the rest of your evening, your weekend. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back soon. We'll see you down the road. Cheers.